This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Now, the festive season is approaching, and I meant to call it the festive season so as to not alienate those who don't celebrate Christmas, but I'm not religious at all. I still refer to it as Christmas, as I guess that's what it is, and I find it a very lonely time, but I do love the lights and the decoration, and it's something that I look forward to seeing every single year. Yes, many of us don't celebrate for different reasons, but it's hard not to notice that it's that time of year. And Hanukkah also takes place at a similar time, and I don't know much about it, but it seems to be less about the tinsel and the lights. Well, Kim Gottlieb is a psychotherapist and an urban mystic, which I'm intrigued about. And I reckon he doesn't mind the tinsel and lights side of Christmas either. And he's written a children's book that incorporates some of the Christmas spirit into Hanukkah. Kim, welcome to Joy Drive.
Well, firstly, I don't know where you got your notes, but I haven't written any children's
books. Oh, haven't you? Oh.
And I haven't. I think that's a lovely idea, but not something that I can ascribe to.
Ah, okay. Apologies. That was the wrong information. Do you consider yourself to be a religious man?
Well, that's where I like the urban mystic because I'm definitely... I was thinking, you know, people often talk about being a spiritual seeker, and I thought that sort of has a bit of a yearning ouch to it, and that's why urban mystic, the mystic is a spiritual seeker, and when I say a spiritual seeker, I guess I mean being curious and desiring to know the ineffable, so desiring to be in relationship with something that is greater than simply being fabulous.
But removing the religion from it.
Not religion, no. I'm able to weave the religion. In fact, that's one of the things I feel very pleased about, that is that I'm from New Zealand. I moved to Sydney and dropped my religious background, even though my grandfather had been a rabbi. But I couldn't find a place. I couldn't find the traction. But then I went to America and studied Jewish renewal and found a fusion and found that at the essence of at least Judaism and I think all the religious pathways, there's some very beautiful fingers pointing at the moon we sometimes talk about.
So your grandfather was a rabbi. Did he struggle with you, I suppose, being a bit distant from religion for a while?
No. I mean, he didn't. He died when I was like 15 and he was in another town. Mm. He was just a lovely model of someone committed to their spiritual path, committed to being of service.
So when someone comes up and says to you, oh, look, you do psychotherapy as well, and someone comes and approaches you and says, look, I need some therapy around a certain issue as well, do you also bring in the urban mystic side of things?
My therapy training is in process-oriented psychology, and that is looking for the deeper meaning. So people often come in and they're presenting some kind of polarity, either parts of themselves that are in conflict or in relationship with other or even in relationship with the world. And in deepening the conversation a little bit away from the talk therapy approach, then often you can find something that is not anticipated. This is a surprise. And I think similarly in the mystical path, we do our meditations, we do our reading, we do our practice, and then enlightenment is seen as the ultimate accident, but we can make ourselves accident prone. And I actually find that some of the religious practices that I do with the right, in Hebrew we talk about kavanah, which is the intention, we can actually move through some of the challenges that stop us from following those rituals, because I think rituals are really important, and I think it's great that queer culture has endeavoured to find ways to bring ritual in, but often it gets thrown away because of the pain and trauma that we've suffered from organised religion, and the rituals were wrong, but rituals are not wrong.
You talk about doing meditation. How helpful do you find that to people?
I think the mind will take over. And so you either you let it take over or you find a mechanism to try and intercept that power that it seems to take. And the breath is a good way to say, excuse me, you're not the boss. So I find it extremely helpful. And also prayer, which, you know, just the notion of calling out and yearning for something greater than us. I think that's the principle that I live in, is the principle that there's something greater than us that we can call on, and that in my hour of need, there is something to call to and some relief that's possible. And I think that's true psychologically, that we can find that relief, and also spiritually. And the two are not dissimilar in structure.
Interestingly, let's talk about Hanukkah. What is that?
Yes, Hanukkah. It's kind of such an interesting thing. The thing I liked was when I was invited to speak, I knew that I had to go and look up Google Hanukkah, because the information that a non-Jew asks about Hanukkah is not the way we experience it within the culture, which is true of many cultures, including our own queer culture. However, it's technically the Festival of Lights. We would never call it that. It's an eight-day festival, which I only just saw now. So I was always told that the Greeks had attacked us and smashed the temple and in Jerusalem, and they'd smashed all the oil, and there wasn't enough oil, and there was only enough oil for one night. So when we tried to rededicate the temple, and there's a candle that's meant to be burning all the time, there was only enough oil for one night. And so it took 8 days for them to find oil from somewhere else. But the miracle was that for 8 days, the light stayed alive.
The light stayed for 8 days.
Yes. Now, I was thinking also today that if you know Jerusalem, you know there's olive trees everywhere. So the fact that, you know, clearly we should never let reality get in the way of a good story. However, you know, it's pretty true within Jewish culture. We say that, you know, Jewish history is defined by they tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat. And so we have culinary traditions related to oil. So we eat donuts, we eat potato latkes.
Do you eat donuts for 8 days?
Look, I'm not a donut person. I'm much more, the other thing we can eat are potato latkes, which are a bit like hash browns, and I'm more prone to eating them.
Do you have? Is this the diet for 8 days, though? Is this?
It would be a diet for cholesterol heaven, wouldn't it? No. They're just the fun things that we have. And then we have a little gambling game. So that's kind of fun with a dreidel, which is like a spinning top. And and of course, it's only in recent times, like the 19th century, that Christmas was around, and we needed something to have a lot of fun with as well. So it's not a religious festival in the Torah, in the Jewish Bible, unlike our major festivals, but it emerged from the rabbis, and then it got, dare I say, commercialized, not unlike some of our, you know, other
just like
religious
Christmas
groups. But it's a lovely time to get together. And there's a beautiful, it's called a Chanukiah, a little 9-branched candlestick, because each night we light another light. And it's a very sweet notion if you want to take that as an urban mystic or as someone who's looking for the deeper meaning, that doesn't just want to play around. It's like the thought that you're lighting and you're bringing more light into the world every night, because we light one candle the first night, two the second night, three the next night. And then there's the ninth candle is the one that you use to light the other candles, so that the actual candles that are lit, their sole purpose is to celebrate light. And when we're asked not to use them for any sort of to light a cigarette or
if the power goes out,
but simply if the power goes out, it's fine, because we're asked to look at the candles and celebrate light and divinity, and it's very sweet.
When is Hanukkah this year?
Yeah, well, you're
I'm not saying, you know, that. You're soaking
it. It's quite now. Yeah, we say, but you know, if you look at it written, it's often, because otherwise people say Chanukkah, and that would sound really terrible.
No.
So tonight is the fifth night. Mm-hmm. We follow a lunar.
It's on now.
It's on right as we speak. We follow a lunar calendar, which means that the day starts in the evening. So at sunset tonight, we'll light the fifth candle, and then tomorrow night the sixth and the seventh, and then finally the eighth candle, by which time we will have had more than enough donuts and potato latkes.
I love the idea of the donut. I'm not a donut thing, but I like the potato things.
Yeah.
They sound really
come
yummy.
Come round for breakfast.
Oh, is that when you do it?
Well, I like it, and now I have eggs on it.
Oh, yum.
Yes, I mean, it's very McDonald's, but I don't want to promote them.
You should have brought it in. Now we know what Hanukkah is. It's on now. Kim, good to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Joy Drive. That is Kim Gottlieb, psychotherapist and urban mystic.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.